Wow, choir. Did you feel the energy as they crescendoed towards joy? Isn't that what joy does for us? It amps us. It brings us stronger in touch with what it means to be grateful. Thank you. We are in a study of the book of James. As you've heard me say, I have never preached a full series on James before, and I'm fascinated. It is a book that Martin Luther really eschewed. He didn't like it because it's filled with advice of what to do. But I think the advice is incredibly important for us to evaluate in our own lives and in our own behaviors. Throughout the letter, James emphasizes the importance of work to demonstrate our faith. You know, it is how we smile at someone, how we love, the words we speak to people, the actions we take in life. They speak louder than who we want people to see us as. The importance of these works demonstrate our faith. Wealthy not being treated in a special way, feeling that they're somehow better than others. But we have a stratified society, don't we? And it's fueled by the advertisements we watch. Who doesn't like seeing the Acura commercials and thinking, I could like that car? Or whatever it is. On the other hand, James nuances the importance of works, how the things that we do matter. And as we read through this book, we find that patience is an active belief in God's love and his promise of parousia. Parousia means coming to you. Coming to you in difficult moments of life. Coming to earth to repair it. And today we come to chapter 5. This week and next week will be the last chapters of James, as then we will enter into Lent. And I read today from chapter 5, beginning with verse 7. As I've told you, I'm not using PowerPoint right now to rely on those little red books in your pews called Bibles. And if you turn to page 982, you can follow along as I read the verses 7 through 12, the word of the Lord. James writes, "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call them blessed, those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job. And you have seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my beloved, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." May God bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we try to extract what this passage means to us, open our hearts and our minds, God. Take my words. Strengthen our lives with your presence and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Robert Bork, in a book called Slouching Toward Gomorrah, writes these words: a culture obsessed with technology will come to value personal convenience almost over everything else, and ours does. Among the consequences is impatience with anything that interferes with our personal convenience. Religion, morality, and law do that. Which accounts for the tendency of modern religion to eschew proscriptions and commandments and turn to counseling and therapeutic sermons. Of morality, to be relativized, and of law, particularly criminal law, to become soft and uncertain. Now, I don't know where you stand on that quote. I go back and forth. But it is interesting perspective to consider. The way James starts this passage off is saying, be patient. Well, that's not something we're good at, is it? Especially kids. Can you imagine a kid on Christmas Eve? When's it coming? Do I have to sleep? Can I sleep by the tree, under the tree? But really, neither are we adults patient, are we? When Konrad Adenauer was a chancellor, he was approaching the age of 90, and he succumbed to a heavy cold, and his personal physician was unable to do very much to help him. And he was very impatient, and he harassed the doctor, protesting. But the doctor responded, "I'm not a magician. I can't make you young again." To which the chancellor retorted, "I haven't asked you to do that. All I want you to do is keep me getting older." Patience is not something that's easily attained. Whether you're waiting for the pediatrician in the doctor's office, or whether your kids are waiting to play with their perfect toy, children are not patient. When we're waiting at the DMV for our number to be called, we're not patient. When on a long trip, what do you hear from the back seat? Are we there yet? When? Last week, giving them credit, the Kansas City Chiefs were patient in the fourth quarter as they trailed the San Francisco 49ers, and everybody believed the game was already over. But not them. They were patient and scored twice, three times in the fourth quarter. Two vices are opposed to the virtue of patience: insensibility and impatience. Insensibility leaves a person unmoved by human suffering. Oh, why do those people always have to ask for money? It's so difficult to walk through that part of town. And impatience is the adamant refusal to endure sorrow. We don't like to endure sorrow, do we? James is saying life is a series of activities, high and low, good and bad, and we are called to be calm and patient throughout it all. One of the many tasks of parenting is, how do you help your children be patient? How do you teach them patience? Every parent knows this task, and it's a difficult one. Experts have weighed in on that. Well, you might try modeling patience, which we don't do very well in this modern society. You could give the kids some opportunities to talk about patience and to question it with impatience. And what does that allow? You might also use timers when appropriate. Some parents put a timer on when kids are impatiently waiting. Or maybe you could get the kids to do things that require more time and more patience. In my day, it was model building. An impatient and dexterously challenged job as you got to more and more intimate parts of either model cars or model airplanes. Teaching children patience is in itself a slow process, which requires patience of the parents who are exasperated. Because we are born impatient, we need to channel and temper that. But patience is not ever simply for children. Think of the many things that we as adults do that are impatient. What would come to your mind in your life? We talk about this because the text we read today suggests that the early church is growing impatient, waiting for Jesus' return. We've been waiting now for over 2,000 years. It's a long wait. People say, well, I don't know. Why should I keep showing up at church? It's been 2,000 years. I mean, come on. But maybe it's because God knows we each need to have patience. David, in his prayer, says, help me be patient to wait on the Lord. The early church is growing more and more impatient, and they have to be addressed. Jesus' first followers thought that his return would be imminent, that they would be ushering in a new day. And every passing generation, we have hopes for that. We have people that tell us it's coming. Jesus' first followers thought that his return would be immediate. And James writes a letter to those struggling to wait. In this brief passage, James uses the word or a form of the word patience four times. Be patient until the coming of the Lord, reminding the people that they are waiting. Not waiting for something quick. Not for waiting for a minor event, but waiting for the world to be recreated. And then James uses this illustration of a farmer who waits through the fall and the winter for the crops. You know that the Palestinian region has two rainy seasons, a fall and a spring. And so the rhythm between those four seasons, dry, rainy. They don't have snow much. What they do have is the preparation time and the planting time. The preparation time and the planting time. The time to reap and the time to sow. And James encourages the church to hold on to their hope as they patiently wait. Finally, James acknowledges that waiting can be painful. And he uses the prophets as an example. All we have to do is read the prophets. They never get what they want. They go through witnessing throughout their lives, but at the end of their lives, they're no closer to the promise. What the prophets tell us is be patient. Be patient as you wait on the Lord to fulfill the goodness that He sprung forth in your life as a seed springs forth from the ground. But it is not quite yet an edible plant. It's a work in progress. You know, there's so many times in life that the end is near is proclaimed. When I was a senior in high school, I enrolled in a week-long seminar hearing Hal Lindsey preach on the most popular book ever written, second to the Bible, and that is The Late Great Planet Earth. Sold more copies. He was saying the end times is near. Here's the examples of Russia, of Magog and Gog. And I sucked it up because we're impatient people. Now's the time. I got to light a fire under this world because Jesus is coming. But he didn't come. He didn't come for the prophets. And we get tired of waiting, don't we? C.S. Lewis said in Miracles, one of the best illustrations I've ever heard. He writes, "These small and perishable bodies we now have were given to us as ponies are given to schoolboys. We must learn to manage, not that we may someday be free of horses altogether, but that someday we may ride bareback, confident and rejoicing. Those greater mounts, those winged, shining, and world-shaking horses, which perhaps even now expect us with impatience, pawing and snorting in the king's stables." Can you picture yourself riding a winged thoroughbred through the skies? Well, that's what we're preparing for. You know, there's even a website that can help us become patients. It teaches active patience. The website is WikiHow. And the website claims to be a place where anyone can learn anything. And they offer tips on advice and a wide variety of topics. And many of the suggestions given by this WikiHow involve being distracted. Isn't that interesting? You know, they think of a child waiting for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. And they say that the idea is to occupy your mind with other things than the upcoming trip to Disneyland or to Christmas. And if you focus on other things, things that you can do that now and here, then the waiting is not so preoccupied. And the hours pass more swiftly. They suggest that having mom and dad work with the children, having them help wrap Christmas gifts, having them help decorate, baking, getting Santa's snack ready, all these activities not only pass time, but they involve a child in preparation. So what's the preparation James wants us to utilize here? That's the question. What will draw us closer to the vision of the winged horses, of flying in a world where God's love abounds, and no one is hungry, and no wars occur? Pie in the sky, yep. But that's what faith is. And he doesn't tell them to wait passively. James gives us examples of the kingdom. Don't grumble about one another. Don't complain about your brothers or sisters. Be patient, loving and caring for them. You know, one of my favorite Peanuts cartoons is when little Sally is still a toddler. And one day she's crawling by and Linus and Lucy are watching her progress. And Linus asks, "How long do you think it'll be before Sally starts to walk?" And Lucy looks at him, exasperated as usual. "Good grief! What's the hurry? Let her crawl for a while. Don't rush her. She's got all the time in the world. Once you stand up and start to walk, you're committed for life." And so we, James says, wait patiently. Wait patiently for love to blossom. Wait patiently as we attempt to change the world through the power and hope of God. What's one little thing this week that you can do to show and demonstrate that God has a better solution, that love is a stronger power, that peace and joy are there for the taking in any situation of life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, continue to walk with us as we search to live out this difficult demand that James puts on us, patience. I confess I'm not a patient person, but I would love to sit in patience of your love and with my brothers and sisters. Vision a world where you are alive and strong. Amen.